Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. For those of you who might be unfamiliar with these words, I just read from the opening seven verses of the epistle of Paul to the Galatians. We spent time reading from Jesus Christ, Supernatural, done by Dr. Gene Scott, showing the facts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, who by it puts Jesus, the central figure in history. We spoke last time on our natural condition, which is dead in trespasses and sins, but by Christ, through the will of God, we who are operating in faith, which also is a gift of God, though we be dead, live in Christ . This is the gospel . This is the good news . This is that which is called the born again experience, which is our only hope. But it's not just hope, it is rooted and grounded in the revelation of God, which is found in his word. in a portion of our government, we have what's called the Secret Service. And there is a part of the Secret Service that is involved in sorting out counterfeit money. And the way these agents are trained is they spend all their time studying the real. And the result of the study is when they find counterfeit, they recognize it immediately because they are so familiar. They are engrossed. They are trained in the real and not in that which, to stay with the verbiage, counterfeits, to go back to the verbiage of Scripture, which perverts the real. Staying with the analogy, there is real money and there's counterfeit, which is not money. There is the gospel and there is that which perverts the gospel. Which is not the gospel. My hesitation is, the richness of these first five verses of Galatians truly do demand that I spend some time, that we spend some time in them. I've got a lot of work in front of me, but I think it's more important that we spend a little time in these verses. Paul, it opens, an apostle. The word simply means sent one. You know, there are some who hold to the theory that, you know, Jesus chose 12, one of whom was of the devil, Judas. So there were 11. And after that, there were no more apostles. Well, Paul, who in other passages says, you know, one born out of due time. He was not present with Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, yet nevertheless, he calls himself a sent one. Not of men, he says, and not by man. He didn't receive the laying on of hands by one of the 11. He not of men. He didn't get his credentials from seminary, but his sentness, his condition of being a sent one was by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. It does not say that Jesus raised himself. It says that God the Father raised him from the dead. And Paul is sending a letter. And who's he sending it to? Unto the churches at Galatia. Multiple. Therefore, this epistle of Paul is applicable to all the churches. That word which we have given the etymology of so often, the English word church comes via the Greek, and without spending time in it, it simply means the possession of God. The possession of the Lord, to be more accurate, that which belongs to the Lord. And what's the message? Grace, unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. To the extent we deserve it, to the extent we work for it, it's not grace. Something from God which we didn't or don't deserve. Grace to you and peace. It means cessation of againstness. It means a bringing together again. It says here to those who are the possession of God, God's not against us. And we are joined together again. And this from God, He is the source of this grace and this unmerited favor and this joining together again and this removal of againstness. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. That which caused God to be against us. That which removed us from the source of life. Our sins. And of Jesus Christ, it says, who gave Himself for our sins. That which removed us. Christ gave Himself for that condition. We're not sinners, folks, because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. Who gave Himself for our sins. For all our sins. Those of the past. Those we are going to commit today. Those that we will commit tomorrow, Christ gave Himself for all our sins. Why? That He, that is Christ, might deliver us from this present evil, King James says, world. The word is eon. It is really better translated age. There are eons of time. There are ages of times. And this time, one who was sent not of man or by man calls even this age evil. That He might deliver us and this word deliver in the Greek language is in what's called the middle voice. I've said it often, I'll say it again. Unfortunately, we don't have this part of grammar in the English language. But when the middle voice is employed in the Greek, it gives us the sense of why one is doing something, and when one is doing something and it's and the middle voice is employed, it tells us they're doing it for themselves. So we might read it that he might deliver for himself us from this present evil age. And Christ did this according to the will of God and our Father, to whom glory forever and ever. In this series of messages, we are going to look at the real and the conclusion is spoken of right here according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That word, it's not the ending of a prayer as is so often used. The literal is, no doubt. It is no doubt. And I hope, because we're going to get in to the gospel, the real, and eventually through becoming familiar with the real, that, you know, Paul in this seventh verse says, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The Greek word means, this Greek word translated pervert means to put what is in front behind, and what is behind in front. I don't think it needs any further, that is the word, any further explanation. And we are going to keep that which is in front, that is the gospel. Now, I'm going to use in this study some words and arguments that are found written almost 500 years ago, written by a young man who, because of his faith and because of his gifted understanding of the gospel, left an argument which is found in a book or books called The Acts and Monuments of the Christian Church. It's better known as Fox's Book of Martyrs. This young man's name was Patrick Hamilton, and he left a written work prior to his being martyred for the good news of the grace and peace we have from God the Father and Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. You know, that thief on the cross to whom Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise," he had it pretty good. There was something that God gifted that thief, wherein he believed in his heart and spoke that which he believed with his mouth, and received the message, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," and died, and by the words of Christ, is in heaven. That was wonderful, that it would happen so quickly that he was delivered from this present evil age. But there have been many, and there are many, who have been graced with this gospel and gifted faith, who have continued for quite some time and are still in the body anyway, in this present evil age, and we counter this fleshly existence with faith in the gospel. which is that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins. And we have the promise of being delivered. From this present evil age. So, from the writings of Patrick Hamilton, I want to get in to the doctrine of the gospel, and, you know, as we have taught here before, you know, there's doctrines of men. We've got the doctrine of the Baptist Church and the doctrine of the Episcopalian Church and the doctrine of the Catholic Church, and we got the doctrine of the Pentecostal Church. But the doctrine, that is, that which is heard, the doctrine of the good news of Jesus Christ is something that should amaze and astound. It's not a creed of men. It is something that is heard which should amaze and astound. Now, Patrick didn't quite do it this way. I'm going to read the scriptures and then give you the conclusion that Patrick and his wonderful expose of the gospel, the conclusions that Patrick made. John 4:42 says, and these are the people at Samaria, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of your sayings, for we have heard him, that is Jesus Christ, ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Patrick says, Christ is the Savior of the world. It says in Luke 2:11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Patrick says, Christ is the Savior. Romans 5:6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Patrick concludes, Christ died for us. In Romans 4:23, 24, and 25, it says, now it was not written for his sake, and he's talking about Abraham, not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, and we're talking about righteousness, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, that is the righteousness of God, if we faith on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our righteousification. Patrick concludes, Christ died for our sins. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Patrick concludes, Christ bought us with his blood. In Revelation 1:5 it says, but there were false prophets also among the people. Excuse me. Lost my place. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, that is Christ, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Patrick concludes, Christ washed us with his blood. He includes verses that we have just read this morning. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Christ offered himself for us. That is, in Christ offered himself in our place. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I don't think there's ever been a better definition of sin than that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, that is Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Patrick concludes, Christ bare our sins on his own back. First Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul, the one not by man, neither of man, sent by God, concludes that phrase with the words, of whom I am chief. Think on that one. Patrick concludes, Christ came into this world to save sinners. The doctrine of the gospel. Amazing, astounding. Let's continue. First John 3:5. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. This Greek word manifested, I mean, you know, many would say, well, it's pretty obvious what manifest means. Well, I just give you this short definition. It says to make manifest or visible or known what has been hidden or unknown. To manifest, whether by words or by deeds or in any other way. And 1 John 3:5 says, and you know that he, that is Jesus Christ, was manifest to make known or what was unknown, or to make visible what was hidden. He was manifested to take away our sin. Patrick concludes, Christ came into this world to take away our sins. 1 Timothy 2:6. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Patrick concludes, Christ was the price that was given for us and our sins. Romans 8:31-32. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to those things if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, how shall God not with Jesus also freely give us all things? Patrick concludes, Christ was made a debtor for our sins. Colossians 2:14. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. What is that? That's the law. That's the law of Moses. That's the Ten Commandments and the other 613 laws contained in that which is called the law. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Patrick concludes, Christ has paid our debt, for he died for us. John 2:2 says, And he is the propitiation, which word means satisfaction, satisfying that debt which was owed, that debt that we could never pay. Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Additional witness is herein is love. Listen. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Patrick concludes, Christ made satisfaction for us and our sins. First Corinthians 1:30. But of him, that is, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God, speaking of Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and satisfaction and redemption. Patrick concludes, Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our sanctification. I would add this to that. But of him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Back to that fourth and fifth verse of Galatians 1, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Patrick concludes, Christ is our redemption. Romans 1, 3 to 5. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. That's King James. For the hearing of faith among all nations for his name. Patrick concludes, Christ is our peace. Romans 7:6 says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Patrick, listen to Patrick's conclusion. Christ has delivered us from the law, from the devil, and from hell. Christ, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, and be ye kind one to another. We get our word kind. We get our word kind from the word kind. Think of family, folks. Think of family. There's plenty of internal struggle in the family, but let outside sources attempt to divide that which is in the family, and boy, that's when the real war comes. And Paul says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And Patrick concludes, the Father of Heaven has forgiven us our sins for Christ's sake. And he goes on and says, or any other word of Scripture, not doctrines of men, but Scripture, that which is God revealing himself to us. Scripture, which, let me go back and read his words, or any other word of Scripture, which declares unto us the mercy of God. And by God's grace, we'll continue. I know there is a lot of Scripture that we read. Any one of which, as God's children through Jesus Christ, we have a right to grab hold of and make ours, and as we see the real through the Word of God, those who would pervert the gospel might not trouble us as much as they would. And for this, we give Glory to God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. We'll pick this up again next time, God willing. But for now, that's the God School.